So we're going to be reading from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 24, and I'm reading from the English Standard Version. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 14 to 24. So that we may no longer be children, tossed to and fro by the waves, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness in deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ, assuming that you've heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. This is the word of the Lord.
Start with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are coming before you, giving you thanks for the opportunity that we have now to worship, hearing your word. We pray that our hearts will be receptive, open, and ready to listen and obey. Lord, it's through your Spirit that you can speak to us. And therefore, we put our lives in your hands. Guide us, illuminate us, and bring, Lord, faith to our hearts. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Have you ever had a shirt that used to fit you just right? But then one day you try to button it, and boom, that poor button is ready to fly off like a rocket and hit somebody in the eye during coffee time. Yes? Well, that is when you know it is time for a new shirt. And this is how clothes work. When the body changes, the closet must change because the old clothes don't fit anymore. And so Paul says life with Jesus is the same. When he makes us new, the old way of living doesn't fit anymore. We are a new creation, so we must put off the old and put on the new. And remember last week, we learned that every believer has grace and gifts from Christ. No spare parts in his body. And that is the line of thought that Paul is bringing now again to the table. Verse 7, you have received gifts from Christ. But today, Paul shows us how to use our gifts with others. And he is going to walk us through this passage in three major ideas. The first one is not staying like children. Then, not walking in the old ways, and then finally, but putting on the new life in Christ. So let's start where Paul starts, with a call to grow up in Christ. Now, notice how he begins in verse 14. If you go in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 14, he starts saying, because you have received gifts from Christ for the edification, now he says, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves. Children, he says, are wonderful, but they change direction very, very quickly. And you think, one new voice, one new video, and off they go. And so Paul is saying, God wants us, the church, to be steady and not unstable. And how do we become stable? And then he continues in verse 15. He tells us, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ. You see, he's bringing now, connecting everything and saying, now you need to speak the truth in love. Truth and love are not enemies. They are teammates. Truth without love can feel like a hammer. And love without truth can feel like a warm hug that lets you walk into a cliff. The church, Paul says, grows when we tell each other real truth with real love. When we open the Bible, when we open our hearts, when we correct gently, and when we open and our hearts and are encouraged sincerely, so then, Paul says, there are you becoming and you are using the truth and love. There we are becoming a family, a real family. But now look very carefully at verse 16, because this is the center of this passage. Now that you are speaking the truth in love, you're growing up in every way into a head, verse 16 says, for him, Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which is it equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow, so that it builds itself up in love. Paul here in these verses are telling us how growth works, how growth happens. And he says, it begins with Christ. He is the head, who gives us life and who gives us direction. But that life, Paul is saying, flows through real connections as we are joined and held together in relationships, in service with each other. Growth happens when each of us does our part. Because it says there in verse 16, when each part is working properly, not just a few, but all working together. And the result is, at the end, verse 16, is love. But the material that you are using to build up this body is as well love. So you see, it's all over. Inside and outside, love is what put things together, and the result is love. And so, my friend, the gifts you receive from Christ are not given primarily for you, but for us. Your gift is for the whole body. And no one grows to maturity in isolation. It's not possible. Even when modern Christianity often says, it's just me and Jesus. And Paul says, wrong. Christ is the invisible head, but his body is visible. Real people, real names, real faces. You cannot have Christ without his body. Imagine a head with a finger attached directly where the neck goes. No arm, no hand, no nerves, no shoulder. Well, that is not a body. That is a horror picture. A finger cannot be attached to a head without the hand, the arm, and the shoulder. It is not possible. The way we know we are connected to Christ, the head, is when we are connected to the body of Christ in real, tangible, and meaningful ways. That is how we know that we are connected to Christ, the head. I love technology. I love podcasts. But podcasts cannot visit you in the hospital. Live streaming cannot hold your hand at a funeral. A Bible app cannot look into your eyes and say, brother, I love you. Or sister, I'm praying for you. Let me carry that burden with you. The plan of God for growth is designed to be together connected to the head. So let me ask you this morning, where are you joined to the body of Christ? And I am asking you where, because the place is important. There must be a place where you are connected to the body of Christ. If you don't answer that where, it will become hard to be connected to the head, to the life that is flowing to Christ. Who knows your name, your story? Who knows your struggle? Where are you using your gift as we grow? If you serve with children, my friend, thank you. If you make coffee, thank you. If you pray faithfully, thank you. If you quietly fix things no one sees, thank you. When each part works properly, all of us grow into Christ. And let me tell you something. Most of the important, most of the vital parts of the body do their jobs without even being seen. You have no idea how many things are happening in your body, inside of your body, and how many things need to be happening so then you can lift this finger. We have no idea. And so Paul is saying, we need the body. That's the goal. But he now warns us, if we disconnect from the head and if we isolate from the body, we don't stay just neutral. He says, we slide backward. And that's the second part in these verses here. Verse 17 to 19, he says, now this I say and testify in the Lord that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their mind. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God. Notice that word, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to their hardness of heart. And they have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. What Paul describes here is the never-ending cycle of people without God. When people refuse to accept the truth about Jesus, about how we have life, Paul says their thinking become very, very unclear. Their understanding and feelings become cold and dark. They become callous. Guilt disappear. And sin, mentioned sensuality and impurity, becomes the normal. Think of a disease that damages nerves, like leprosy, diabetes, or spinal injury. Without feeling, wounds become severe because the alarm in the body doesn't sound. You can lose a finger and you can feel nothing. In the same way, callous soul doesn't feel the danger of sin until the damage is deep. And Paul here is not trying to shame us in this passage. He's waking us up, telling us, wake up. You need to be careful with these things. And we see this numbness around us. The word says, follow your heart. And the Bible tells us that the heart is deceitful above all things. The world tells us to make your own truth, even when that truth denies reality. The world turns neighbors into profiles on social media. The world teaches us to cancel people instead of having an honest conversation face to face. Let's talk about things. We also see it in purity inside and outside of marriage. It's dismissed as outdated or mocked as repressive instead of treasured as God's good design. It's just normal. Don't worry. Don't be old-fashioned. My dear friends, sadly, we even see this numbness when life itself is treated as disposable. Whether in the quiet destruction of unborn children or in the growing acceptance of ending life through the so-called compassionate measures. It's like upside down everything. But Paul, my dear friends, doesn't leave us here. He's just reminding us to no longer walk that way. He's telling us that is what you used to do, what you used to think, how you used to live, but you no longer walk that way. Come back into the light. Reconnect to the head. Rejoin the body. Let God's word and God's people wake your soul again. That is the invitation that Paul is giving us in this passage. And then, third part is, now that we are leaving this behind, he's giving us the new direction. Verse 20 says, but that is not the way you learn Christ. And in verse 21 says, the truth is in Jesus. And so notice the new direction that Paul is giving us in these verses. Verses 22 to 24. It says, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds. And then last verse 24, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Here is the new direction that Paul is giving us. Three daily moments that we need to do day by day. One is put off, be renewed, and then next is put on. Put off the old self. That means to remove habits, words, and desires that belong to the former life. The old self promised comfort, power, escape, and a quick approval from people. But Paul tells us that will break you. That will make you insensible. At the end, you're going to be numb. Leave that. Put off. Take off the jacket of self-ambition. Set down the shoes of avoidance. Unbutton the coat of pride that hides weakness. Put off. Second, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. God gives the renewal of our minds by his word and his spirit. And he often does it through his people. You see, is everything connected to the body? Renewal is not just information, but it's transformation, renewing our minds. It looks like new thoughts that agree with the scripture, new desires to live in holiness like God is holy, new practices that keep step with the Spirit. Renewal grows when we listen to Jesus, when we let brothers and sisters speak truth in love to us. It is quiet work, like the changing of seasons, but soon you notice, my heart is softer. What is happening to me? My mind is clearer. My steps are steadier. And what is happening is that you are renewing the spirit of your mind. But then, the last part of our daily routine is put on the new self. Put on the new self. Putting on is dressing in the character of Christ. This, my friend, this doesn't make you a Christian. God already made you new in Christ. If you read that verse, it says that put on the new self created is in the past. The new self have been created and have been given to you. Means your body has changed, so that you need to put new things on that new body. So our obedience does not make us a new creation. It reflects that we are a new creation. So let's get dressed for the new body that we have received. That's what Paul is telling us here. Put on honesty where there was pretending. Put on patience where there was hurry. Put on generosity where there was storing only for myself. Put on words that build up instead of words that tear down. Put on kindness and forgiveness, because God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ. So let me return to the closet illustration to make this a little bit more concrete for us this morning. Imagine you hold two jackets. One says, "It's all about me." And the other jacket is, "It's all about Jesus and his people." So you slip off the first jacket and you put on the second jacket. Now look at your shoes in the closet. The old pair runs away from the person who hurts you. But the new pair walks towards that person to speak truth in love and to seek peace. You need to reach for a hat. The old one whispers, "I know best. I need no one." But the new one says, "Christ is my head, and I need his body." And finally, you need to put on a pair of gloves. The old gloves keeps your gift for yourself. But the new gloves use your gifts to build us all up. So now you look like who you really are. You are a new creation, and you are dressed accordingly to the new creation. Just one thing to remember is that this dressing room, this closet room, is not a private dressing room. According to verse 16, it happens in the body, where we are joined and held together. So it's a public dressing room. It's a public closet. Because you cannot put patience without people who test your patience. You cannot put on forgiveness without people who need your forgiveness. You cannot put on encouragement without someone who needs courage. We need to grow together. We need to dress up together. And so, where do we start? I would say probably not doing a lot of things at the same time. Just one piece of clothes. Maybe this week, ask Jesus for one person to speak the truth in love. And I'm telling you, that is one of the most hardest thing that you will ever do in your life. It is not easy. But we need to do that. Speak the truth in love. We need to encourage the weak We gently correct wandering. We always need to point to Jesus. So maybe that's the first piece of clothes that you need to be using this week. Maybe ask the Holy Spirit to show you one old garment. One old garment to put off. Name it, confess it, and then leave it in the floor. Never come back. But then ask, Jesus, what is the new garment that you want me to use? Maybe choose one little action to build up the body. Maybe a phone call. Maybe a prayer for someone. Maybe a meal. Have you, just a curiosity, and you don't need to be answered. Have you have a lunch or a cup of coffee with each of the people that is here in this room? Well, that's a good thing. We started this week. Pick one right now and then call him. To pray, to share life, and to encourage your brother and sister. Just one piece of clothes. If you are new here, you are welcome to this imperfect body, but a body. If you have been distant, the plea that we hear from the scripture is to come close. And if you have been hurt, let's walk together gently. The head heals through his body. And he makes all things new through his body. That is the call that God is making for us this morning. Amen. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, you are our head. And we thank you for giving us grace and truth. We pray that you will hold us together as your body and help us grow up in you. And by your Holy Spirit, renew our minds. Teach us to put off the old and to put on the new. Lord, please, make us work together in love, using the gifts that you have given us, so that all glory goes to you. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.